B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
So let's get some info on our Philadelphia Eagles from the man who covers the Eagles for ESPN.com. He is on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast, and his name is Tim McManus. Haven't talked to you in a while, Timmy. How you doing?
All right, Mike. It's been a while. How are you?
It has. I want to get to this report that I read. Pro Football Focus predicting the Eagles' free agent scores. And they had three of them. Ha-Ha Clinton-Dix was one of them. Bashaud Perryman was the other. And, yes, Jason Peters was the third guy that Pro Football Focus predicted the Eagles would sign. Your thoughts?
Interesting. Yeah, I wasn't expecting you to say Peters as that last one.
Yes.
The first two make a lot of sense. Perryman, in particular, just seems to be a fit, both from the speed that he brings to the table, his age, he's 26, and kind of what the Eagles are looking for. And I think the price range would probably not be too exorbitant where the Eagles might fit from that perspective as well. So I can definitely see somebody like Perryman or Robbie Anderson from the wide receiver standpoint coming in. Ha-Ha Clinton-Dix would be another one where he's not too old and wouldn't be too expensive, and you'd be able to pair if you get Malcolm Jenkins back into the fold. Maybe Clinton-Dix and Jenkins. So I get on that one. But Peters, I think we're going to have to wait and see how that one plays out, because at some point, especially with Howie Roseman saying that they have to get younger, they're going to have to do this youth movement. They spent a first round pick on Andre Dillard a year ago. So I'm less certain about him coming back.
All right. Let's move on to the big issue, and then I'll get back to the Eagles. The new NFL CBA and the talks that are progressing towards 17-game season, 14 teams in the playoffs, the one bye, and only three preseason games. The league wants it. The Player Association, what do you think happens here?
I think that this is going to be a fascinating next 2 days, really. And the way that I'm reading this is that the NFL is kind of pushing this a little bit, where it's like, here's what it is, and here's what we're thinking, and we're meeting, and we're moving along with this. And I think that there's absolute urgency on the NFL's part, and for a couple of reasons, one being that they want to lock in some new TV rights. And if they have this new CBA hammered out that has the additional games, you know, that's more money, and they get to get that ball rolling now. And also there's limitations in the final year of a CBA that kind of limits them financially when you're talking about off-season spending. So there's multiple reasons for them to be motivated to get something done. The players less so. And, you know, I did a decent amount of reporting during the course of the season, along with the rest of the NFL Nation reporters, kind of gauging how players are thinking here. And there is no doubt that the NFLPA was trying to get these guys ready for a potential lockout so that they could gain some leverage by not being as financially unstable when they got to the point of these negotiations, where they can sit toe-to-toe. And as Malcolm Jenkins put it to me, you know, we want to be partners in the business of football with the owners. They provide the field. We play on it. We should be partners. If they want to get that, they're going to have to dig in. And so this is kind of the moment of reckoning for them, because there's going to be a conversation between NFLPA heads on Friday. And if they decide they're not going to make a vote on this, or that they're going to vote no, then negotiations will probably go dead until next off season. I mean, so this is like a really significant moment as to, you know, are we stable enough? Are we fortified enough to put up this fight with billionaire owners? And I think we're going to get our answer probably this weekend.
Interesting. All right. So on the surface, you're thinking the NFLPA goes no go. So what concessions would they seek to go yes?
There's a few things that they want. Certainly a bigger slice of the revenue pie where they get closer to 50%. Would be something that they're interested in. I know that.
And right now, it's a what?
It's like 47.
Okay.
And I believe the proposal is 48 to 48.5. And I believe they would like to get it to more of a 50-50 split. They also want to get closer to guaranteed contracts. And there's a holdup, and, you know, there's certain language right now in the CBA that the owners are trying to hold on to that involves the amount of, it's related to escrow. And basically, It's a provision that doesn't allow really for owners to provide guaranteed contracts, and the players are trying to get rid of that. They want more longer term health care for the guys that have played before them and for them and when they get out of the game. You know, there's a lot of areas where they would like to get stronger in.
See, there's a really unusual give and take here, because obviously they're putting their health at risk if they agree to this. This is more football, and it's already a dangerous, violent game. So no matter what concessions they get, it almost would look like a sellout to me. If they're really care about players' health, how can they go with this?
I tend to agree with you, and I think that will be something that a lot of people will be championing for. The difficulty from Players Association standpoint is that there's just such a lack of uniformity. I mean, if you look at the amount of money that they make from player to player, it's just such a vast difference. You know, priorities are a lot different. And I think that, you know, veterans who have already made a lot of money are going to be looking at this and saying, you know, long term, we have to do better for our union. I don't want to play an extra game per season. And then you can look at some of the younger guys who will just be looking at it more in the short term and say, yeah, but if we get another game per year, that's an extra paycheck, and they're going to give us all this extra money, and I want the extra money. You know, so there's oftentimes conflicting interests within the union, and that makes it tough to have uniformity. And that's something that I think, you know, plagued them the last time around. And if they do end up accepting this upcoming offer, I think we'll be looking at some of that as well.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Is this better for the fans? Does this make the game more exciting for fans to have the extra playoff week, to add the two teams, or does it dilute the process to the point where it could get ridiculous with a bad team in the playoffs?
Well, honestly, I think it's good for fans. I think that having an extra game and reducing the preseason by one or two games, you know, that's a win. Having three wild card games, you know, per day, are, you know, is better than two. So I think that, you know, from that standpoint, like, people will get over pretty quickly. You know, okay, this is a little bit watered down, but I think just the draw of having more playoff football to watch will probably override that. And then also kind of the race for the number one seed becomes heightened and more important, because there's only one team per conference that's going to be getting a bye. So I think it's good for the fans, but, you know, finding where it's good for the players is a little harder.
I'm just like, I guess the fear, and Tyra and I were talking about this, that you get a 6-10 team in there. You get, you know, 7-9, and we've seen 7-9 before, but we don't respect the 7-9 team.
Yeah, and I think that'll be probably good, you know, talk for that week.
Yeah.
But I think people are still going to sit down and watch the thing, you know?
Yeah, I agree with it. Let's roll back to the Eagles now and what they may do and what you're hearing and the draft and all that. And the rumors were that Stephon Diggs was a target. What do you have on that?
It seems from, you know, my counterpart in Minnesota, Courtney Cronin, has been pointing out the fact that there's really no incentive for the Vikings to get rid of Diggs. And so I don't know. It seems like every offseason or chance he gets, you know, Diggs will maybe make a little bit of a fuss or a move or delete Instagram posts, something small like that. But I don't know that he's going to get moved. And so I would probably look more towards, you know, the draft, number one, at wide receiver. It's supposed to be an historic class, as full as it's ever been of talent and depth. And so I think that they're going to be using probably multiple picks on wide receiver. And then also, I think that they can fill it in with a free agent, as opposed to having to go the trade route with somebody like a Perriman, mm-hmm. or like an Anderson, somebody like that.
Now, would they be inclined to move up to get a better wide receiver, or do you think this class is deep enough where they just sit and grab one? Because it looks like Diggs is the top choice.
Well, I think it sort of depends.
Rugs.
How it falls. That digs in my head. Rugs. The different levels are, right, Mike? So,
yes.
Like, if they believe that there's this number one tier and they're all going to be going off the top 15, then Roseman does have some flexibility in the fact that he's projected to have 10 draft picks heading in, and you can move up, and you definitely don't want to be left empty-handed if you feel like you have somebody, you know, that's clearly like, this is the guy. And so that would be, that would all depend on how they see kind of that first round shaken out.
All right. So are we looking at a replenishment at wide receiver primarily and cornerback, or will they leave corner alone and try to get a Chris Harris?
I think that cornerback is going to come during the free agency period. Mm-hmm. It's hard to envision them saying, we'll just rely on a couple guys, a couple rookies to hold down these slots. I mean, right now they don't have any of their starting cornerbacks under contract. I think that they'll probably try to bring Jalen Mills back, but you have another starting corner that you're going to need to account for. So I wouldn't be surprised if they go after somebody like Byron Jones, honestly.
Wow.
I think that there's some legitimacy to that. I don't know that they end up with him, but mm-hmm. I think that he's a name that they're going to be looking into. And there's a couple other decent players out there as well, like Logan Ryan and James Bradbury, Trey Waynes, that they can be looking at. So I do feel like they're going to fill one of those needs in free agency.
All right, so combine coming up when?
Next week.
Next week.
So it starts on Sunday, runs through Monday.
Will you be there?
I will not be in Indianapolis. They're holding me out to the owners' meeting.
You'll be able to watch it.
In real time.
All right, Terry, good stuff, man. We'll talk to you.
All right, Mike, always a pleasure.
Tim McManus on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. All right, so there we go.
Interesting. It makes sense. They haven't had a lot of success drafting corners. At this point, just sign one.
To take the corners, like, now you're gun shy. Can you draft a corner that's good enough to start because you need a starter?
Right. No, probably not.
And probably you can't.
Probably get Mills again, like he said. You sign somebody else and then you use Maddox in the slot. It's probably what they do.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.